As a child, I endured many what I considered to be injustices from the adults around me. But perhaps one of the most painful was when we would go to my aunt and uncle's house. They had retired, and they traveled a lot, extensively. And whenever they came home, we got to go over and see the slides. And my Aunt Mary loved to take pictures of gardens, which is just what any 8, 9, 10-year-old wants to look at. And so it would be a numbing afternoon. But what I always admired about them was that they would set out driving with sort of a sense of where they wanted to go, but they never really mapped it out. They got in the car and they went. And they were able to enjoy it more that way simply because they didn't have an itinerary that they had to keep. They didn't have to get to point B by this date or this hour. They just drove. And if something attracted their attention, they stopped to look. And they truly enjoyed those journeys and would come back, of course, to share that with others. And my aunt and uncle were in their late 60s, 70s doing this. Today we see Abraham, 75 years old. A time in our life when we hope perhaps to be able to rest from our labors, be able to put our feet up, be able to do what we'd like to do, relax, enjoy. And God comes along and says, "Have I got a deal for you?" And he tells Abraham, "Pick up and go to a land that I will show you." Period. And Abraham does. But imagine what that must have been like for Abraham and Sarah. To suddenly, in their older age, be called by God to something totally, completely new, unexpected, and unknown. But perhaps for us, the more incredible thing is that they did it. And they didn't seem to balk. They didn't seem, at least Scripture doesn't say, they had all kinds of questions. They simply went. They had faith. They had trust in God. And apparently they weren't tied down by their possessions. And so they went. Now we who sit here today stand on the shoulders of generations of the faithful, from Abraham down to today. Abraham, our father in faith, all those countless generations. And so we have an advantage in many ways over Abraham, who had no real ancestors who believed in the one true God. He was the first to come to know God again as the one true God, surrounded by people who had many gods. And he came to know this God and to trust in him, so much so that he could pick up and go. Where? Who knows? No navigation system, no maps, no smartphone. No, nada. Off we go. God will guide. We stand on countless generations. And yet we too, probably more than Abraham, balk when God calls to us. We come up with all kinds of questions, excuses, reasons, worries, fears, doubts, when we don't need to. We are the inheritors of generations of faith and trust in God, and the example of countless men and women who followed the Lord into new and uncharted territory. We too are called to do likewise at times by the Lord. Perhaps not as dramatically as Abraham, but nevertheless, we are called to follow. And sometimes that's all God says. Just as with Abraham and Sarah, he doesn't always give us the details. He doesn't give us that itinerary. Okay, I have to be over here now at 10:45. We don't know. Where do you want me to go, Lord? Follow me. Oh, come on. I need more. Follow me. We too are called to trust. That's a hard thing for us. In a society that is so advanced, we actually have less trust than the generations before us. Certainly less trust in one another, in humanity, in government, in those around us, the world around us. And unfortunately, that can affect our relationship with God. But we are called to trust radically, totally. God always makes good on his promises. And he promises Abraham that through him, great things will happen. And we see the fulfillment of that today in the scene of the Transfiguration. We get a glimpse into what that blessing, what that promise really means. It doesn't simply mean generations of faithful that believe in God. Of course, that's part of it. That's why we're here today. We are here because we participate in that promise, that covenant that God made with Abraham. Countless generations of descendants of Abraham. We are the faithful today. But there's more. And we get that little glimpse in the gospel when Jesus is transfigured. We see the coming together of the old covenant and the new. Moses and Elijah and now Jesus. That God's promise is coming to fulfillment in his Son. And we partake then in the new and the eternal covenant each time that we come forward here to receive the body and blood of our Lord. That's the sign, that's the seal, that's the gift. But we are called to trust because our future still lies before us. And we are called then today, now, here, like Abraham, to make that promise known, and through Jesus, to make the gospel known, the good news. And for many of us, it won't be that dramatic. It simply takes place in the everyday and the ordinary. But the message we have and the Savior we follow are not ordinary. There's nothing ordinary about our faith. It is extraordinary because it is in Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, as we come here today and we bring forward the bread and wine to be transformed into the body and blood of our Lord, let us place on the altar any fears, any doubts that we have, and allow the Lord to transform those so that we can go forth today and each day in faith and in trust. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.